You're listening to Healthcare Now Radio. Stand by for This Just In, the latest in healthcare innovation and technology trends with your HIT advisor, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these half-hour segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, my 163rd episode, we have a special show dedicated to our health innovation think tank. But before we dive too far into that, I'm very excited to announce that we'll be broadcasting the This Just In radio show again live from the HIMSS annual conference in Orlando on Tuesday, February 12th from 1 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. This will be our fifth year broadcasting live from the HIMSS annual conference, and I could not be more excited. If you're planning on going to HIMSS, we'll be broadcasting from booth number 2821, so please stop by if you're in Orlando and see the show. If you're not able to make the conference this year, you'll be able to stream our radio show again live on thisjustinradio.com. Again, that's thisjustinradio.com between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern on the 12th, February 12th. Last year, we had over 30,000 listeners, and it was a lot of fun and learning. We'll have another great slate of CEO, CIO, leading care providers, industry thought leaders, riveting authors, and certainly policymakers joining the show. To name just a few of our guests that we have slated, Dr. John Halamka from Beth Israel Deaconess, Dr. Rasu Shresha from UPMC, Anish Chopra, the former U.S. CTO and president of Care Journey, and just a great thought leader overall, Neil Gomes from Thomas Jefferson University and Jefferson Health, Dan Monroe from Forbes Magazine, Ed Marks, CIO of the Cleveland Clinic, Dr. Karen DeSalvo, former National Coordinator of Health IT here in America, and even people like Andy Bartley from Intel and other senior executives from Lenovo and thought leaders. So just a great slate, and I couldn't be happier. We have all of our top thought leaders are all returning again, so very excited for that. So again, hopefully you'll be able to join us. That's in some capacity, either in person at HIMSS 19 or just dial into thisjustinradio.com and you'll be able to stream us live 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. on February 12th. So now let's dive into today's show highlighting our health innovation think tank. And this is a series that we're going to start to do more of. If you've ever listened to the show before, for the last 4 years, I've always brought on guests and basically spoke to them about their thoughts and their strategies and their thought leadership and obviously their companies. But I'm going to shift for 2019 and starting here now with really portraying more of my own thought leadership and in a lot of the work that we're doing out there in the industry and the best practices and basically things that we're achieving within the think tank, but also just in general in healthcare and healthcare innovation and strategy. Because just lots of great stuff going on out there, and I want to be able to share it directly with you. And not always go through the guest. I'll certainly still have my guests coming back on a regular basis, but also going to be speaking directly with you as well, much more. I've only done it a few times a year, and I'm going to start to inject it, hopefully, on a monthly basis. So now diving into the Health Innovation Think Tank. For everybody that may not have heard of that before, we started it about 2 years ago. We just had our fourth think tank. But the genesis really is a handful of us came together a couple years ago and wanted to create a forum where we could break down silos and really collaborate across sectors within healthcare and certainly healthcare technology and innovation. So a lot of us, my previous past with health IT innovators and certainly EHR companies, Greenway is one of my companies, and we formed an association called the EHR Association and rolled it up under HIMSS. And it was great because we could collaborate. A lot was going on specifically with EHRs back then. And we could collaborate terrifically as a sector of the marketplace. And we would do some outreach, but we really didn't deeply collaborate with all different sectors. And when I say sectors, I mean with payers, with healthcare providers, with other innovators that were not EHR providers, policymakers. And sometimes we would touch on different aspects of those, certainly on the policy side, and a little bit on the payers, and obviously care providers were our customers. But at a high level, we didn't have any cross-collaboration in a meaningful manner on a consistent basis. And so that's when we decided, you know what, we're going to create the Health Innovation Think Tank. A couple of great partners came together and allowed us to bring about 50 people together. And the strategy is we bring 50 to 60 people together every 4 to 6 months. And we host a day and a half session. And you've got to be a thought leader in some capacity in your sector. So again, we have health IT innovators, we have policymakers, we have payers, we have health systems, we have physician practices, obviously the participants of healthcare in those regards, and then just other thought leaders in general. And we bring all of them together, again, 50 to 60 at a time. And we have a set agenda of what we want to cover. And there's usually the biggest topics in healthcare, either it's value-based care, connected health, either virtual care, consumerism, connected care, or collaborative care, and even just innovation in general, interoperability, and public policy. So really large discussion topics and large tasks within our industry that we're all tackling, but really looking to bring everybody together to collaborate on, hey, what are we doing well? What aren't we doing as well? What can we be doing better? And how do we solve that outside of just our ecosystem, just outside of our individual silos? So this is really, again, breaking down barriers, bringing us all together in a real collaborative spirit, kind of laying down our swords. Because a lot of us do compete in different ways, or I don't really compete with people anymore, but vendors compete with each other and private organizations compete with each other. But we lay down all of that at the door and we all come together and say, hey, what can we learn from each other? What can we share? What have we been successful with? What best practices can we learn from that success? What are our failures? What best practices can we learn from those failures? And then share that out with the industry at no cost. There's no charge for any of this. It's just really a lot of us have worked together for many, many years, a couple of us, many decades. And we just want to be able to share all this great thought leadership and best practices that we've learned through the time. So that's really where the genesis of the think tank came from a couple of years ago. Again, we just finished our think tank 4. We'll be publishing those key findings here in the coming weeks. But I want to take this time now to share some of the highlights and really talk through it. The important thing, the radio show and getting this the word out from my voice directly is when I took this project on, I loved it. But then like when you finish a think tank, you have 30 pages of notes or so, or maybe 40 pages of notes. And you really need to distill that down into something digestible for our society. And right now, our society consumes information in very small bites, small doses. And it's got to be very simple because healthcare is extremely complicated. So taking 30 to pages of deep thought leadership notes and then distilling that down into very actionable intelligence and information that can be put into a bullet point form. And also, it can't be 80 pages. I had to distill down all of this content into my first output was about 13 slides. This next one will be about 18 slides. But something that's digestible and that people will consume. Again, people are not going to sit down and review 80 to 90 pages. That's actually what it would come out to be if I didn't really distill it down as simply as possible. But these radio shows are going to allow me to kind of go into more detail, more granular into some of these components. Again, all this a lot of this is already published, certainly the first three think tanks at healthinnovationthinktank.com. That's a website where we have the first set of best practices and key takeaways published. Again, that's healthinnovationthinktank.com. And then we're actually also, it's a website's there now, but we're also going to be launching a brand new one right around HIMSS-19 timeframe. And that will have our key findings from the first three think tanks and then the key findings from our fourth think tank. And just to give you an idea of who collaborates, it's really the largest health systems in the country, some in the world. But then also the smallest is all sizes. It's all shapes and sizes of health systems, all shapes and sizes of vendors. So, for example, Partners out of Boston and Northwell out of New York and UPMC out of Pittsburgh and Thomas Jefferson out of Philadelphia, University of Virginia Health System, Duke, Resurgence out of Atlanta, Christus out of Texas and throughout the Southwest there, UT Southwestern Medical Center, Parkland Health, Boston University School of Medicine, Tahoe Forest Hospital District, Pratt Regional Medical Center out of Alabama, Nemaha County hospital out of Nebraska, Florida Association of ACOs, Reliant Medical Group out of Massachusetts. They're doing some wonderful stuff as well. Nemours Children's Health System, Dartmouth Hitchcock. So just tons of very large health systems, but also physician practices. And even Nemahat County Hospital, that's actually a small critical access hospital. So we really have the entire gamut. And again, we have physicians from all over the board, large specialty organizations to small independent practices like FastMeds Urgent Care and Institute for Family Health, as you know, in smaller practices here in the country. But also HHS and ONC and CMS, and then large vendors like Intel and Philips and Qualcomm and McKesson and Meditech and Cerner and Allscripts and CPSI and NextGen and Change Healthcare. So again, CDW, Cure for You, HipNation, Livongo Health, Waller MD was a great thought leader on the virtual care and the telemedicine side. Lenovo Health, for sure, one of our key anchor partners and one of my partners in general. Elevation Health, Studio North, Center for Protective Medicine. So those are just some of the vendors and collaborators that come together and organizations that come together to really make the think tank happen, who have collaborated over the past couple of years. And really the way that think tanks each run are, again, we started off with 50 to 60 participants. And then each time we have a new think tank, we invite 25 to 30 that have participated before, and then 25 or 30 new participants. And so every single time we're carrying forward, for continuity's sake, 25 or so participants have been in think tanks before, and always adding in 25 new. And we'll have our next think tank coming up at HIMSS-19 on the 13th, I believe, February 13th. So very excited about that. But again, a broad swath of people from the industry, vendors of all shapes and sizes, health systems and practices of all shapes and sizes, again, policymakers, payers, Humana, Blue Cross Blue Shield have all participated. So again, just a great opportunity for us all to come together. And actually Northwell, for that matter, was a payer as well. But a lot of us, again, just coming together to create some great thought leadership and just a lot of key best practices to share with you all. So diving into some of those, because I think they're very key. And if you listen to some of the previous think tanks or the radio shows that I've covered on Think Tank, we touched on, the most recent one touched on consumerism and just some real successful ways. And so I do recommend you kind of dial in, because consumerism is fast approaching. It's here in many aspects of healthcare. Every day it grows. I'm in the center of it in a lot of ways in my investments and organizations. It's just navigating consumerism is critically, critically important. And so some of the best practices that we share and that we came across in our last think tank and we're sharing out right now. And one of them was actually by Reliant, a large medical group in Massachusetts. They had a great strategy called they achieved their goals by focusing on the three U's: useful, usable, and you have to develop trust. And that's very, very true. From that standpoint, the important aspect is they made it useful for their doctors. They made sure it's very useful for their patients, so everybody got deep value from what they were engaging. It wasn't spearheaded by only one department or with one aspect of strategy in mind. They really did look at the entire ecosystem of their patients, how it integrates with their physicians. Is there going to be enough security in there? Is the trust going to be developed? There's so many different aspects to success, or at least that they found success, and I totally agree with how they approached it and what they found. So I was very impressed with that. And again, everyone must find value in the technology and strategy. And that was one of these are the best practices that we're publishing. And it must fit into their natural workflow. So again, you can't ask patients to change or change very much. And you certainly can't ask providers. And when I say providers, I mean nurses and doctors and all the extenders. Everybody part of that ecosystem it's got to integrate into their natural workflows. And it might work in the very beginning, but it will not work over time. So you got to kind of bring the technology and allow the technology to bend into current workflows. It can't go all the way. The providers have got to come also to it. The patients got to come to it a little bit, but you got to kind of meet in the middle, but really bend into natural workflows. And also trust. As I mentioned before, patients need to trust that they'll get the quality care through these modalities and through this patient engagement type innovations, such as virtual care and such as telemedicine and patient portals. But they're also going to make sure their data is safe. And the doctor is who they say they are. And the patient is who they say they are. So all those are part of the trust chain and the trust aspect of creating a very good solution for your organization. So that was one of our big key takeaways from the last think tank. Another one, and again, you may have heard this before because I've mentioned this in the last think tank, but this is pretty big, is the telehealth survey that partners did. And this is on video visits. So on a scale of -5 to +5, they ask their population, are you interested in video visits with their primary care physician? And the patients overall gave the concept a +3.5. And that's about as high as you're going to get. So not everybody likes video visits. Not everybody's going to like telemedicine and so forth. But, for the ones that are open to it, 3.5 is very strong. So they said, what about the same video opportunity with another physician who has your medical record but is not your PCP? So they have access to your information, but they're not your primary care provider. They get that is a -0.6, which is a little surprising because you would think that, hey, you're a doctor, you have access to my information. You'd think the patient would be all right with that because I've been in technology for so long that I've been so normalized to it. And it's part of my everyday, but it got -0.6. So that's a little bit shocking. And then they said, what about a physician who can't see a medical record and is not your physician and they cannot see a medical record? That's a -5. That was the lowest on the entire scale. The scale, again, was -5 to +5. So what about a physician who can't see a medical record? It's not your physician and they don't have access to your information. It's a -5. So that's pretty alarming because I don't know the exact stat, but that's probably 97% of all video visits today out there. There's only a few organizations in Hip Nation, one of mine, are the only ones that actually connect you, a video chat with your doctor through a secure connection, has all your information and connects you with your doctor, not a doctor. So I'm pretty shocked at that. But I knew it was the right strategy when we deployed it at Hip Nation, but I did not realize when this research came back that that is really what people are looking for. Because it's just, again, I don't want to call out organizations, but most organizations or certainly platforms connect you with a doctor and they may or may not have access to your information when they're trying to treat you. But patients were not too savvy on that, so or too keen on that. So pretty important. So the best practice there is patients want video and secure messaging with their own primary care provider, not a random care provider. So again, it's something to think about as you're deploying these strategies within your ecosystem. Is look for ones where you can do, on demand or not necessarily on demand, but video chat or secure messaging with your care provider or with their care provider, as well as having access to their information. Another best practice that we found and key takeaway is, what is stopping people from using telehealth? And what came up was from these different organizations across the board that participated, you got to look at value, you got to look at usability. You've got to look at trust. And also, you got to look at the trust in the care provider, in the data, as well as the privacy. Very significant for patients. So you got to make sure you have a high-quality doctor. And the next aspect we're going to dive into also is cost and transparency at cost. But we'll dive into that here in a moment. But that's where the value comes in. So you got to look at value, usability, and trust, and then also trust in the care provider. The data is going to be secure and the information is going to stay private. So those are just some of the initial best practices that we came across. Other thing that we touched on is the hospital survey that partners did. And this is around brand. So 80% of patients cared about a hospital's brand and or expertise in 2005. So 80% cared about the hospital's brand and expertise in 2005. In 2015, only 42%. Convenience is now more important than a brand. So that's significant. Certainly with these larger institutions that we've had across the country, they have great name recognition, phenomenal reputation, a very big brand, even globally. But convenience is now trumping a lot of that. And so this is something, again, to keep in mind, certainly for these large regional players, they rely on their brand. And they've done a very good job. These organizations, certainly in the Southeast, that have worked heavily to increase their convenience. Obviously, their clinics out in the community and attaching their brand to that. But that's certainly something that I would not have guessed it dropped that far. That patients nowadays don't respect the brand and expertise as much as convenience. So research dug deeper here. 33% said looking for whether a clinic has virtual visit offerings. So that's great. That's something obviously we encourage everybody to see. How can you include virtual care options? And one of the important aspects that came out in a previous think tank is when you integrate virtual care, telemedicine, make sure that you do it into the entire care strategy. This cannot be a siloed approach. You can use it for triaging if you want to, but you really integrate virtual visits and telemedicine into the care plan. Make sure everybody's properly trained on it, and it's got to be integrated again into the overall care plan. It cannot just be siloed out on an island. It will not work. It may work for the first couple of months, but you will not get the ROI. You will have disjointed care. Physicians and care providers will get frustrated, and so will the patients. That's just something that came out in the last few think tanks, actually. And another thing on consumerism, to wrap up this component, is patient engagement decisions and how they're being made. They really are being made with cost, number one, then access and convenience, and trust, in that order. So watch how patient engagement decisions in your community are being made. But when from the research that came out of the think tank, cost is number one, access, and then trust. So again, make sure that you are managing costs and that there's enough value in there no matter what you're trying to achieve in the community and with your innovation. So I'm going to move right along. Those are really some of our consumerism think tank tasks. And again, a lot more, and I'll cover that in future shows. But coming up on the care collaboration key takeaways, I want to touch on a few of these. Importantly, is ensure your organization is designing innovative care plans with an eye towards the future, but also ensure you balance on how you get paid and reimbursed today. So that's something that, again, came up. A lot of people, certainly organizations, small and large, really do, they get healthcare is evolving. They want to be part of that evolution. They certainly want to survive and better yet thrive. However, you've got to keep an eye on what is available in your community today, whether it's local, whether it's in the state, regional, or obviously CMS. But make sure that you're really keeping pace with what your organization can achieve, pushing the limits a little bit, but make sure you're understanding where everything is today. And I think people are doing a fairly good job, but obviously we had a couple of good examples of where people went out on a limb and did not pay off. It's also important to gauge your organization's risk tolerance before engaging new care models. We all know that change and evolution is mandatory for survival, but it's also very important to ensure that you know where your culture is and what type of change management and strategies need to be implemented to take on some new care models. So know where your organization and your culture is and what changes need to be made, and don't outpace that. Don't outpunt your coverage. That's very important in this, because change management is a significant component and key success factor in navigating new care models and value-based care models. Another best practice that came out of our care collaboration segment was, and this came from a large physician-led specialty organization, and they're talking about the bundled payments for care improvement initiative and how important it is to have physicians on the hook and bought into the overall strategy as well as bought into the outcomes. And this holds true for all bundled and value-based care programs. So really make sure, and this should be a common sense item, but very important to make sure that the physicians are on the hook, again, for the overall strategy, and they're bought into it, as well as they've approved and they bought into the outcomes that will be derived from it. And also an important aspect that came up from our previous think tanks, and certainly again, was around allowing or ensuring that front desk and frontline staff also participate in success bonuses in any of the savings that come in as bonuses to your organization. They are very important. It's not just about leadership. It's not just about the doctors. It's just not about the administrators. But make sure front line staff are also participating in the bonus structures, the incentive payments, and they're also getting rewarded for their work and trying to keep you within. They book the appointments. They reminder they can do appointment reminders, medication reminders, and just making sure care plans are being followed. Obviously, that's done a lot by nurses, but again, that's part of the frontline stuff I'm talking about. Everybody needs to be part of that ecosystem when the bonuses roll in and incentives are paid out, because it took everybody to be successful, or at least it should, to be as successful as possible. So very, very important. Let me see here if there's anything else. Oh, one last aspect I want to cover before we close today is keep an eye on physician burnout. As mentioned in the last three think tanks, I think it's worse than ever before. Unfortunately, EHR use has been one of the top items that has been pointed to. And they found that physicians spending 2 to 2.5 hours extra in documentation, quote unquote, potentially because of an EHR, led to larger burnout rates. And the national average is 42%, and the national average of feelings of depression by physicians is 12%. So pretty significant, and something you really got to keep an eye on. So in all organizations of all sizes. So that's really where we're going to stop today. We'll pick back up again probably in a couple of weeks, right after the holidays. But truly appreciate everybody taking the time to join us today. And again, my next one will be focusing a little bit more on care collaboration, but then also a lot of the health innovation key takeaways that we had. But again, thank you for joining me today. And please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific to hear our latest shows. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor. Use the hashtag ThisJustInRadio so we can respond to your comments from the show. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear more, my shows are posted to Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week, and I hope to see you at HIMSS 19.